Proverbs chapter 23 and verse 13 to 16. Verse 13, Proverbs 23. Withhold not correction from the child, for if thou beatest him with the rod, he shall not die. Thou shalt beat him with the rod, and shalt deliver his soul from hell. My son, if thine heart be wise, my heart shall rejoice, even mine. Yea, my reins shall rejoice when thy lips speak right things. Amen. Thus far we read the word of God. And our theme this evening is faith, not sight, in the upbringing of our children. Faith, not sight, in the upbringing of our children. Very soon after the birth of a first child to Christian parents, those parents are confronted with a stark choice in the upbringing of the child. Shall we follow the world's wisdom, or shall we follow the word of God? Shall we say, as Manoah, what shall be done concerning the child, and look to the scriptures for the answer? Or else shall we just go with the flow and follow the general pattern? And these verses are a strong encouragement to follow the word of God, come what may. First of all, corporal punishment and spiritual good. Corporal punishment and spiritual good. Verse 13. Withhold not correction from the child, for if thou beatest him with the rod, he shall not die. Thou shalt beat him with the rod, and shalt deliver his soul from hell. There is implied here a temptation to withhold the correction that is necessary. Verse 13 obviously recognizes this, that though faithful discipline requires that correction be administered corporally, it is all too easy to let it pass. After all, who wants to inflict pain on a much-loved child? But when it is due, to withhold it is cruel. It is to tell the child that there is no right and wrong, and if there is, we don't know where it is, as if the God of heaven hasn't revealed it. That's why we read in Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 24. Proverbs 13 verse 24, he that spareth his rod hateth his son, but he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes. It's talking, of course, about when such chastening, such correction is really necessary. But to withhold it when it is cruelty. It is to leave the child in a vacuum with no right, no wrong, and no direction. But when is it due? And when is it not to be withheld? The basis of right and wrong is the word of God. The law of God in all its ramifications. There is one lawgiver, that is God. So corporal discipline is to be administered on that basis, not on the basis of the bad temper of the parent or the inconvenience suffered, but by a wrongdoing biblically described. Any other use of corporal punishment is arbitrary and tyrannical. It must be under God, under the word of God. That is our supreme authority in the home, in the church, in the state, in everyday life. It must be on the basis of the word of God. And so Ephesians 6:4 says, "Ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord." Colossians 3:21 is of similar import. "Provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged." A sharp distinction between right and wrong must be maintained. Also, we must make a sharp distinction between defiance and a mistake. Defiance must never be tolerated, not ever. Not at any time. Zero tolerance of defiance. But a mistake can be a lesser matter if it involves excessive carelessness, or it can be just clumsiness. And however inconvenient, it should not be in the same category. A child who doesn't have rebellion in view should be relaxed in our company. A child who does not have rebellion in view should be relaxed and at ease in the company of his or her parents. Only if a child's heart is set on rebellion in some way or defiance should the matter be different. Our children should be our best friends. They should know that we love them, and that if we correct them with corporal punishment, it is for good reason. But how does that save them from hell? How is it that the text says, "Withhold not correction from the child, for if thou beatest him with the rod, he shall not die. Thou shalt beat him with the rod, and shall deliver his soul from hell." How does beating a child deliver his soul from hell? After all, he needs to be born again of the Spirit and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and that cannot be achieved by beating a child. You can't beat the work of the Holy Spirit into the child. So how does beating a child deliver his soul from hell? Yes, we must look to God for the new birth, for the fruits of that. But God blesses means. He only renews the heart, but he generally does so in the context of the right use of means. In teaching the child a fixed standard of right and wrong, and discipline is part of this, if we take right and wrong seriously, we are forming the background for the truth of the gospel. There must be a standard. There must be a standard of right and wrong. It is the transgression of that standard that constitutes our sin and our need of atonement and our need of the Lord Jesus Christ. Without that framework, then all is vagary and nothing is firm. We are sinners and we need the Saviour. An undisciplined child is unlikely to have a sense of sin, because there is no right and wrong, and is unlikely, therefore, to see the need of Christ, since no matter what he does, his father and mother do nothing about it. Open sin without consequences from father and mother induces a child to think that there are no consequences of sin at all, and that God is not holy and God does not deal with sin. That sin is no big deal. You cannot expect God's blessing upon your disobedience. So to neglect discipline is not only to disobey God, it is to bring about that atmosphere conducive of contempt for God. Secondly, the correct parental motive. The correct parental motive. Verse 15, my son, if thine heart be wise, my heart shall rejoice, even mine. Yea, my reins shall rejoice when thy lips speak right things. If we are parents, we are concerned with all aspects of our children's welfare. But what should it be that makes our hearts rejoice? What above all should make us glad? What should make our reins, that is the seat of the emotions, what is it that should make our reins rejoice? What is it that makes you, if you're a parent or even if you're not, but what makes you really happy about your children? What is the top priority? It should be this, that their hearts are wise and that they speak right things. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The Holy Scriptures are able to make wise unto salvation. We've said many times in this book of Proverbs that the idea of wisdom in Scripture is wisdom, the fear of the Lord, trusting in the Saviour, following the Word of God. That's wisdom. Folly, on the other hand, foolishness, is to depart from these things and to despise these things and to go our own way and to sin against God. Sin is folly. The idea, the biblical idea of foolishness is not a low IQ or something like that. It's turning aside from the Word of God, saying, no, we don't want this. So Adam and Eve eating the forbidden fruit was foolishness as well as sin. That's the biblical idea of sin, of foolishness. It's sin against God. It's thinking we know better than God. Ye fools, when will ye be wise? The atheist is a fool. A fool has said in his heart, there is no God. So that's the biblical idea of foolishness. And the biblical idea of wisdom is to trust in the Lord and to walk in his ways. And that should be our top priority that we want for our children, that they should trust in the Lord and walk in his ways and speak accordingly. That their lips should speak right things. That the new nature should show itself in the speech. And speaking according to the faith once delivered to the saints. To see them stepping forward, as it were, on the Lord's side in the generation to come. And let's just apply this point. Our children should see. They should see that our top priority is that they walk in the truth. They should know that first importance is that they walk in the truth. If they see that what really gets us worried and makes us lose sleep is how they do in their exams, then we have betrayed the biblical witness. they should see that our chief concern, above all other concerns, we want their gifts to be developed, yes, but our chief concern is that they should walk in the truth, trusting in the Saviour. They must see that. And they should see that in all our discipline, this love, this desire for their good is paramount. So our children are not given to us for academic pride, not to show off to others how reformed we are and how disciplined our children are, not for show, not for our amusement, but as stewards of God, to nurture them, to love them, and to believe what God says about their nurture. And they should see that our chief concern is that they trust the Saviour and follow after him all their days. If this is the right motive, then hopefully the other things will fall into place. But if not, there is no substitute. If you use your children as the object of proxy pride, so that you can feel a glow of pride and satisfaction in their success at the expense of others, then you've lost. Your chief concern must be for their spiritual and eternal good. And there's no substitute for that. Any Christian nurture worthy of the name must have this priority above all else. The third thing is the faith needed to be a godly parent. The faith needed to be a godly parent. He shall not die. When a child must be punished, it can sound as if he is being killed. That's because he doesn't like it. There are plenty of voices saying he will die. If not literally, at least metaphorically. That by using corporal punishment in a loving way, no matter how much you say, you reassure that it's only done when really necessary and in a loving manner and for the child's good, it doesn't matter how much you say that, you will still have plenty of voices telling you that you're doing wrong. Particularly today, that you're doing him psychological harm from which you may never recover. You've come rather close to having a smacking ban, but even if it's not yet in place, there are many people who would like it to be. And any act of corporal punishment reported can be misrepresented as physical abuse, however loving. And it happens. Well, who's right? The scripture says he shall not die. Do you believe that? Is God right or isn't he? You see, every aspect of the Christian life is a matter of faith, believing God. And on this, like on everything else, We believe God. If God doesn't know how to bring up children, our faith is vain. If when we read here that corporal punishment does have a place in Christian nurture, and it does teach that, the scriptures teach that. If that were not true, how can we trust the Bible for anything else? If it's wrong here, couldn't it be wrong anywhere? You see, the Bible is a unit. It's a whole. Christians believe that the Bible is infallible, inerrant, that it's the Word of God, and it's right on everything. I esteem all thy precepts concerning all things to be right. But if it doesn't get this right, it doesn't get anything right. But it is right. We're to believe God. His word is right. Man isn't the center of the universe after all. And the word of God assesses all. It shows that we have sinned as parents, as well as children. If as a parent you do wrong, admit it. Admit it. Admit it to your children when you lose the rag and discipline them incorrectly. Admit it. They'll know anyway. So you might as well admit it. A parent who thinks he's protecting his parental dignity by pretending to be perfect is a fool. Your children will see it. They know more about you than most human beings. You can keep up a good show at church, among Christian people, but our children see us when we're not so good. Admit the truth to your children. Don't think you can protect parental dignity by wrong means. They need to know that we sin and we repent. And we're not just telling them something that applies to them but doesn't apply to us. We lead them in the way of the Lord. But the bottom line is this. God knows best. God can tell us how to get to heaven. God can tell us how to honor him in the workplace. God can tell us how to govern our families. God knows best. And no matter what else, what other subject we consider, God always knows best. He that planted the ear, shall he not hear? He that planted the eye, shall he not see? He that teacheth man knowledge, shall not he correct? Our Father in heaven corrects us for our good. Now, no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Yet after it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness to them that are exercised thereby. We should be a good, gracious, wise, loving parent and be patterned after God, who is gracious, loving, but disciplining of all who are his true children. That's why the people of God sometimes suffer more than the ungodly. He says of them, let them alone. They are given to idols, but he won't leave his children alone. God is a good and gracious father to his children who trust in him. And so he corrects them. And if you are to be a good Christian father, you must be patterned after our Father in heaven and not neglect the discipline he has appointed. But if you are not a Christian, and you have children perhaps, what are you going to teach them? What are you going to teach them? What kind of framework? What are you going to tell them about life? Like, why are we here? Where are we going? What are we? When does human life start? When does it finish? Is it worth always preserving? What are you going to tell them? We're here because we're here. We don't know why we're here. We don't know where we're going. Is that what you're going to tell them? Are you going to nurture them in a blank, a complete non, with no framework, nothing? Fill their minds with facts, but facts which, according to this view, just hang there as if they were not ordained by God. That's why if you are not a Christian, you are not equipped to be a parent, but more importantly, you are not equipped to go to heaven. Whereas the Christian approach is that there is a God, that the world in which we live in is part of his creation, that his providence is over all, that history is the outworking of that providence, that there is an end to history. It's not an endless spiral. There is an end to it. The last day, beyond which there are no more days, and a final judgment. And redemption has been sent to the people of God through the Lord Jesus Christ, who was God, who became man, who remained what he was, but became what he was not. He was always God, and he became the God-man, Redeemer. Is this what you're going to teach your children? Because you see, the Christian parent understands, whereas the non-Christian parent does not understand. He may be very sophisticated in many ways, but he doesn't know what the feeblest believer knows. Which is why the psalmist says, I am wiser than all my teachers, for thy statutes are my meditation. And that's why to do anything right, you need to be a Christian. You need to trust this Saviour yourself. You can't teach your children from the heart if you don't trust the Saviour yourself. And then you'll have something to teach. But you must trust this Saviour. You must be wise in your own heart. Yes, only God can give it, but your duty is to seek it. A new heart from God that trusts the Saviour and submits to the Word of God. Then you will be able to teach children, come and I will teach you the fear of the Lord. But perhaps you're not a parent. And you think, well, what's this got to do with me? Well, it has a great deal to do with you, because children watch adults. If you profess the name of Christ and contradict that profession, children may see it. What a terrible thing to be a stumbling block to one of these little ones. They should see the people of God consistently fearing the name of the Lord and walking in his truth. So then let us seek God's grace, that by his blessing we may say, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Can you say that? As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Not, I'll send my children to be taught the truth by someone. It's nothing to do with me. Not, as for me, I will serve the Lord, but the children, well, they can work it out for themselves. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Are you convinced of the truth? So convinced that you trust, you know, you can say like Paul, I am persuaded, I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed against that day. And what's good for me is good and true for my children also, and I will teach them the way that they should go and do what the word of God says. And out of love to their souls, because there's no greater joy than they should walk in the truth, have wisdom in their hearts, faith in the Saviour, wise unto salvation, and that that should show in their daily lives. Amen. Let us pray. O gracious and eternal God, we pray that thou wilt bless thy word to our hearts. We pray that thou wilt grant thy blessing and strengthening, enable those who are parents of children given by thee to be faithful stewards. Enable us all to set a godly example, that we might walk in the truth and in the fear of the Lord, and that all our ways might honour him, and that those following after us might see and fear and on the Lord rely. Hear us, O gracious God, and bless thy word to our hearts, and accept our thanks for food and drink, and bless our continuing fellowship, and look upon us in mercy, and grant thy blessing, and forgive all our sins. For Christ's sake, Amen.